From newsounds.org, it's time for another of our live in-studio performances in the series we call the Soundcheck Podcast. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. Alejandro Escovedo has been making solo records since 1992, writing songs that blend punk and roots rock and a bit of country twang, but he's never made a record quite like his most recent, called The Crossing. It's a story about immigration and about two boys, one from Mexico and one from Italy, who meet in America and bond over their shared love of punk and their pursuit of the American dream. Coincidentally, we have two boys with guitars here in the studio today, bonding over their love of music and the story of The Crossing. With Alejandro Escovedo is the guitarist Don Antonio, and they are going to start us off with a performance of a piece called Teenage Luggage.
I got my teenage luggage, I'm headed out, looking for America in a record shop. Outside of Lubbock, we got picked up by a cowboy named Joe. He had a hole in his lock. Santa Fe's a punk with a troubled past, sitting like a diva in a holding tank. There's a fire in the underground, skins are on the run. Eastside boys have been here, they'll never disappear. You think you know me? No, you don't know me. You'll never know me, no. You think you know me? You'll never know me. You're just a bigot with a fat guitar. Trouble in America, Salvo fell in love. Italian love is centuries, Italian love is blood. Love can be a junkie, love can be a jewel. Love can be a pyramid, Salvo was a fool. You think you know me? No, you don't know me. You'll never know me, no. You think you know me? No, you don't know me. You're just a bigot with a bad guitar. Huff. Picked up by a trigger happy Johnny with a facial scar. America's beautiful, America's ill. America's a blood stain in a honky tonk kill. Think you know me? No, you don't know me. You'll never know me, no. Think you know me? No, you don't know me. You're just a bigot with a bad guitar.
That's called Teenage Luggage, live performance of a song from Alejandro Escovedo's latest album called The Crossing. You heard Alejandro singing and playing the acoustic guitar. Don Antonio playing the electric guitar. Alejandro, it's been a very long time. I'm so glad to have you back with us in the studio.
It's great to be here. I love your new digs.
Thank you. Yes, the last time, it's been so long that last time was in our old studios a bit further downtown.
Yep.
Don Antonio, good to have you here.
Thanks a lot for having us.
As soon as Antonio walked into the studio and took out his guitar, he immediately looked at me and said, "Handmade in Memphis." It is an amazing looking instrument. And Alejandro, is this one of yours?
No, it's Antonio's. I gave it to him as a gift, but it was made by Jonathan Postal. It's a Postal guitar. It's a very unique. All his guitars are very unique. They're all different. But it's a great sounding guitar, and people are always intrigued by how beautiful it is.
So I'm glad you started with that song, with Teenage Luggage, because it's kind of emblematic of what's happening in The Crossing, which is without you, Alejandro Escovedo, being a character in the story of the album, we're getting to hear, it seems, a lot about your experience.
Well, it's both of ours. Antonio and I co-wrote the record together. So we tried to create these characters that reflected a lot of what our aesthetics are. Mm-hmm. And imagined a journey if Antonio and I were the same age and young boys and what we would be looking for in America. And, of course, our love for Texas music we share greatly, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, Texas played a large part of what we, kind of the research we did. Southern Italy and Italy itself, but especially Southern Italy and then Texas. Somehow we found a union between those two places, yeah.
Okay. What kind of union? What's the connecting thread that you hear in Southern American and Southern Italian music?
I think there's a lot to do with melody, with the way you approach a melody. You know, for me, American music and it all gets together in Texas also physically. It looks like a funnel, even geographically speaking, where all the music of America goes through before going in the sea or going into Mexico. And that kind of border feeling where you still got everything that I like about rock and roll, but it can be approached only with a more of a little Latin perspective in the melody, in the way you approach a romantic melody. That's the kind of American music I can resonate with. Mm. I normally say that, for instance, Beatles were really important in my life, so was Hank Williams, but Los Lobos showed me something that I could relate to more directly, and then all Alejandro's band in the way you can be yourself, like adding your own roots and your own perspective to the big picture of American music, not pretending to be who you're not, but just adding some spices.
Well, now, in that song, in Teenage Luggage, Alejandro, you sing, "You Don't Know Me."
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you've gone through life in America with an obviously Latin name.
Right.
When you've shown up at gigs, has it been a constant thing where people expect something very different from what you're giving them?
We played what turned out to be a salsa festival in San Jose, California. And because of my family and reputation that my family has as Latin, Latin musicians.
Well, your older brothers, great Latin jazz percussionists.
Yeah, Pete and Coke, and Sheila E. and Peter Michael Juan, everybody. Right. So they expected us, and we opened up with a version of "I Want to Be Your Dog" by the Stooges that did not go over quite well. So yeah, we've had a lot of, when we first met 10 years ago and you mentioned that my records started coming out in 92 as solo records, they were never in the rock and roll section. They were in everything but. They were in Latin, world beat, Mexican, whatever it was, third world or whatever.
Right.
But they were never in rocker, just purely on my name.
Right. So people saw your name, thought they knew what to expect, and
they
didn't know.
They didn't know at all. And this is what these characters face, is that they're going through America with the belief that they can be whoever they want to be, right? And what they find is that it's a very exclusive club in a way, And so the identification with someone who looks like them, like say they see the Zeros, I saw the Zeros and they look like me, right?
Right.
That's my brother's band,
right?
Javier's band. But that band meant so much because it was these four cool-looking Mexican kids from San Diego, teenagers, who were playing great rock and roll, like the Standells, and, they were a cool band. And so for a lot of kids where you looked around, you didn't see that many faces that looked like you. it meant a whole lot, you know.
Right.
And I think that identity thing is really important in the record.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Sheila E., who is your niece,
my niece, I guess. Yes.
And then there's another brother who you haven't mentioned yet, who's in the Dragons.
Oh, that's Mario.
That's
my
Mario.
Youngest brother. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So the family is just full of music and musicians.
Out of 13 kids, there's 8 professional musicians, I believe, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, your older brothers have gone the Latin jazz route and made really great reputations for themselves. Obviously, Sheila E. working with Prince.
Yeah.
You've been plowing your own furrow these many years. But still, as I said in the introduction, you've never made a record quite like this before. Not just in terms of the content, but the sound. It's a big spectrum of sound on this
album. It
covers
a lot of bases, this record, you know, and I think it encompasses everything that I've always loved about making music. And I owe a lot of that to Antonio and the band, you know, and also just physically being in Italy, I think, had something to do with the way the record developed, you know. There was something about being in a farmhouse outside of Forlì in Via Franca. You know, just having this little world that we created, we knew what the record was about. Antonio and I had worked hard on developing characters and such. But suddenly we were there to really kind of just let our imaginations run. And we were isolated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was really important to the way the
record
was.
And we thought about it as a movie on some level, you know. We approached the making of it almost as a movie, like we created the set. We just didn't want to be in a good studio. We created the environment for the kind of story to resonate.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to ask if this could be a book.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I see it as everything that you could ever want it to be. I mean, it could be a play. It could be a movie. We're going to do a version of this record in Spanish where we're inviting singers who sing in Espanol to come and interpret. You know, one of our dreams is to have Cypress Hill do one of the songs on the record.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're asking people like Raul Malo and Kerry Rodriguez, Lila Downs, possibly, you know, different singers, you know. And so there's going to be that version. And then we're hoping that we can get a treatment for a film script.
Yeah. We're talking about The Crossing, which is the latest record from Alejandro Escovedo. It's this tale of, it's Salvo is the Italian immigrant, Diego is the Mexican immigrant.
Correct, yes.
You don't have to scratch the surface too hard to figure out who's who.
Yeah.
So the song you're going to do next, called Something Blue, where are we in the arc of the story here?
I think we're at a place in Something Blue where they're starting to realize that they've left a lot behind. And they're looking at the world now through different eyes, eyes that have kind of become a little more wary of the surroundings. And, you know, when you have that feeling like, you know, that you've gone someplace distant in search of something better and then suddenly realize that maybe it's not that great here, you know, and maybe I miss my family, maybe I miss my language, my culture, my food.
But you didn't become cynical yet.
No, they're not cynical. They're still romantic, and they're still innocent and wide-eyed, yeah.
All right, let's hear Alejandro Escovedo and Don Antonio playing the song live here in our studio.
Wind blew my friend away, flew away yesterday. Government lies, children die, no one will heal the poor. Is there money to be made off the people's parade? Selling broken hearts outside the door. So I'll write something blue, a melody I'll play for you. I'll sing, yes, I'll sing something blue. You claim a victory like a hurricane memory. St. James is hanging in the breeze. We turn another cheek in velvet armor sheen. Sing for the workers of tomorrow. So I'll write something blue, a melody I'll play for you, and I'll sing, yes, I'll sing something blue. Nobody wants you, something blue. Maybe you'll turn to something blue. Maybe they'll see what the people need today. Let everybody say, hey, hey. Another smoky, rainy day, the magpies flown away, searching for love lost along the way. If this beginning has no end, let the one-man band begin. It's always time to tell another story. So I'll write something blue, a melody I'll play for you, and I'll sing, yes, I'll sing something blue, something blue, something blue. Yeah, I'll play for you. Oh, something blue.
Nice. Something Blue is the song, Alejandro Escovedo, from the album called The Crossing. And you and Don Antonio wrote a lot of these songs together, right?
We wrote all of them
together. All of them together. Yeah. And the band, just to be clear, the band is also called Don Antonio, right, Antonio?
Yeah, it's a little tricky because it started really like a solo project. I didn't want to be in a band anymore. Obviously, I used a musician. There was a band. But it was supposed to be a solo project. Then for some reason, our path crossed, and then there was the need not just for a band in the studio, but for a live band. And so the Don Antonio band was born. There is a bit confusion, but a review maybe in England said, it's just like Bon Jovi. He's like the band leader, but also the name of the band, which I don't know if it's appropriate in terms of music, but it was.
Why not? Had you ever done a record like this in terms of the songwriting process, having a collaborator like Antonio? Had you done something like that before?
Well, I've collaborated with, you know, Chuck Prophet and I did three records together with Tony Visconti producing.
Also the Burn Something Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, with Peter and Scott, Peter Buck and Scott McCoy and I.
Right.
Did Burn Something Beautiful.
But that's more of a band thing.
Yeah, that was more of a band thing. Yeah. But not in this manner. Actually, the only other record I would say was... we did the Real Animal record was a story about the Nuns, my first band.
Your early band, yes.
Yeah, so it was kind of about that period of time and New York, when we came to New York in those days, that was 78 that we got here. But that's the only record. But this record is, like you said, something completely different. And I really think it really kind of just corralled everything that I love, you know, the symphonic part of it, the noisy part of it, the dissonant part of it, the melodic part of it, you know.
And we really let geography be in the third element.
Geography played a large part of it, you know, because Antonio came to Texas. Mm-hmm. We were in Dallas almost a month, I would say.
Twice.
Yeah. And, before we began to write, Stefania and Antonio drove to Tucson to visit friends and then came back. And it was then that we began to write. But we also, my writing process is different. I really like to soak in the environment and the vibe of what's happening around me. I'm not one of those guys that has to get in there, and I never wanted a job, you know, so
yeah, yeah.
The 9-to-5 kind of ethic is not good for me. So I kind of hang out a lot, you know, it's a lot of driving around and stuff. And so I, you know, we went around and visited restaurants that I frequent in Dallas. There's a lot of dreamers that work in the record stores mm-hmm. and the optical shop.
Just
where
to
I
be
hang
clear,
out.
When you say dreamers, you mean the
DACA,
the right. DACA program.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of kids that we would talk to, you know,
yeah.
and get some of their stories. Some of those stories kind of made it into the crossing.
Yeah.
But the inspiration really was important. And then Antonio and I took the back road from Austin to Dallas, and kind of I wanted him to see what these little towns were like, you know, in the back roads of Texas, where I think is where you really feel Texas. I think Austin, as much as I love Austin, really isn't like Texas anymore. It's
no.
kind of like L.A. in a way now, you know?
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I'm sure my Austin friends will cringe when I say that, but...
Well, I... You
it's
know,
different, you know?
I think a lot of cities in America kind of feel like, yeah. you know... Atlanta, for many years, has referred to itself as a city surrounded on all sides by Georgia.
Right.
And I think Austin probably feels yeah, a little bit like
exactly,
that about Texas.
Exactly, yeah.
So the album has, like, strings, you know, big orchestral arrangements, but it also has James Williamson
right.
from Iggy and the Stooges.
Yeah.
And it has Wayne Kramer from MC5. So, like, the real kind of proto-punk guitarists yeah. from Detroit
yeah.
make appearances on this record.
Yeah.
Why and was that, that why
that
was
that
important?
For me especially, I think, because that was the music. You know, when I started the Nuns, our idea was to meld Detroit and the Velvet Underground into one band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we were successful, but that was the dream, right?
Yeah.
And those guitar players, when I lived in Hollywood, I would listen to the Stooges practice every day, you know. And James lived in that building, and Ron and
Ron
Rock
Ashton.
Action lived there. So those guys were really cool to me when I was just a kid going to see them at the Whiskey, you know. And there was something about Iggy that always impressed me, and the Detroit guys especially. They were very street-level guys, you know. They were rock stars in their way, but they weren't pompous. They weren't too cool to talk to you. They're very much a part of your life. And so... I really admired that, you know, and that was the kind of person that I wanted to be. You know, another band was Mott the Hoople. They were very much the same way, a people's band, you know.
Well, that was basically just Ian Hunter and a rotating, I mean, Mott the Hoople from record to record, you would just be a
well,
completely
we, you know,
cast.
The band I loved was the band with Mick Rouse and Buffen and Over and Watts.
So
and
all the
Ed
young
Morgan,
dudes.
The real Mott the Hoople,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
and so that was the band that I really enjoyed, and I love all of Ian's stuff, of course, but that was the band that really inspired me, you know. And they were the same way, like when they would play, you'd suddenly be standing there, and there they were in the audience, you know, watching the other bands,
yeah.
You know, so that kind of thing was important, especially the guitar sound of Wayne and James added so much, because the kids, Diego and Savo, know their history in punk rock also.
Again, the two kids
yeah,
who are the subject
the characters
of the album.
Of the crossing
yeah.
really understand the value of these guys. You know?
Now, the song you're going to do next,
yeah.
Sonica USA, this is, if I'm remembering right, this is the song where you reference the Zeros.
Yeah.
And it's important for Diego
yeah.
to see a band that is obviously Hispanic playing
absolutely.
This kind of music.
And it's also important for Salvo, you know, to understand that, you know, that is not an all-white world,
right?
You know? And so it's important that Salvo and Diego witness this, because it's there that they really find the kind of community that they thought America was going to be. It's in that punk rock community that they find acceptance, right?
Right.
So... That's an important part.
Yeah, they thought that this is the universal language, actually,
yeah.
where they can all refer to. And that's, to me, it's like could be the template of the record. Sonica USA is like the Promised Land, the Shangri-La, where all the sound meld together.
Well, it was the first single released off, even before the record came out. Yeah. Well, it's a hard hitter. Let's see.
We'll try to do what we can with an acoustic and a
interesting
low-volume guitar.
Yeah, it's kind of stripped-down version here in the studio today. The song is Sonica USA from Alejandro Escovedo's latest record, The Crossing.
All the zeros and they look like me. This is the America that I want to be. Anarchy in Hollywood, land of the free. I saw the zeros and they look like me. Feel the power, people's parade. Sonica, USA. Feel the power, people's parade. Sonica, USA. Little Johnny Dixie, MC5, Cypress Hill, Jurassic 5. Saw the plugs at Larchmont Hall. This is America, I want it all. Feel the power, people's parade. Come on, Sonica, USA. Feel the power, people's parade. Sonica, USA. Impala 1964, Mexican radio on the slam dance floor. Her name was Ruby, a cheek on a jewel. Defiant beauty, she was nobody's fool. Feel the power, people's parade. Come on, Sonica, USA. Feel the power, people's parade. Sonica, USA.
Sonica USA is the song. Alejandro Escovedo, Don Antonio playing live here in the Soundcheck studio, part of newsounds.org, our live series of in-studio performances. Alejandro, before he died, Jonathan Demme was planning to make a documentary about you. How far did that get?
We had he had come up with this wonderful idea that was going to take place in Austin at a little restaurant called Las Manitas on Congress. And what was happening, it was the beginning of the destruction of a lot of the old buildings downtown in order to make way for condos and hotels and such. So that had a lot to do with it. And we had filmed a concert there with some friends, with John Cale came, and Bobby Neurath was there. Nicholas Tremulous put together a band. It was a cool story. It was about me kind of busking on the street in front of the restaurant. That's how it begins. And then people are walking in, and I kind of go, what's happening in there? They go, oh, this guy Alejandro Escovedo's playing in there, you know? So I go in there, and I sit in the back, and what happens is that I watch all my musical life kind of transpire in front of me, everything from the Nuns to the orchestra, solo, rank and file, all that stuff kind of plays out in front of me. But we only got as far as filming some of the stuff around that concert. And then, you know, sadly, Jonathan passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had such a keen ear for interesting musicians.
He was a beautiful man.
I mean, it wasn't just Talking Heads and Neil Young, but, you know.
Robin Hitchcock?
Robin Hitchcock. Yeah, but also, great. Antonio, I don't know if you know the Neapolitan musician.
Enzo Gragnaniello?
With the band Botari. Why am I blanking on his name?
Me too.
Enzo Avitabile.
Enzo Avitabile, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he did a documentary about him as well. So.
And he did a documentary on that guy from that Haitian DJ. Did you ever see that?
No, one? I never saw that one.
He did a lot of great work. I mean,
well, obviously he recognized something, and that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
that,
I know. It was
that
so
whole,
cool.
Idea of you in the back watching this unfold. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Not every great idea gets to come to fruition, but at least this one did, The Crossing.
It certainly did, yeah.
And
Alejandro, I'm proud of this record.
As well you should be, both of you. A lot of work involved and now touring around. Alejandro, Antonio, thank you both for being
You're
with us today.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.